أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وثيابك فطهر والرجز فاهجر صدق الله العظيم Yesterday we discussed the second commandment that Allah تبارك وتعالى had commanded our Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. First was قم فأنذر, stand up and warn. Number two, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, and celebrate the greatness of your Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third command, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ, translating it literally will mean, and keep your clothing pure. However, when we look at this word ثِيَاب, and the word similar to that in Arabic, لِبَاس, it also refers to the condition of the heart, to the condition of the soul, and also to the actions of man. Thiyab in its original form will refer to clothing. So on the one hand, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commanded our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to keep his clothing pure. In other words, to always wear pure clothing. And this will be of two aspects. One will be that the clothing must be free from all kinds of impurities. Every type of impurity, whether it is urine, stool, or whatever it may be, at all times the clothing must be pure. On one hand, as far as salat is concerned, as far as namaz is concerned, it is a condition of salat, it is a condition of namaz that our clothing has to be pure. But over and above that, this spreads for a believer at every other time also, besides in one's prayer, besides in one's salat and namaz, a person, a mu'min, a believer, should always have his clothes purified. In other words, in our terms, it should always be pak. Obviously, if there was something beyond a person's control, then that would be a different situation whatsoever. But at no time should we feel that it is only for salat that our clothing should be purified, and at any other time, we can be in an impure state. Together with that, another aspect of وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ is the acquisition of one's clothing. That the clothing has to be acquired in a halal manner. The income with which we purchase our clothing, that also has to be halal. That is also a form of purity. And together with that, the ulama have stated that the kind of clothing we wear should never be contrary to the Shariat. It should always conform to the Quran and the Sunnah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then going beyond this meaning, insofar as وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ is concerned, the ulama have stated that tahara, purification, and if we take the word thiyab and we extend it to the rest of the human body, then it will expand over four aspects with regards to our taharat, our purity. One is the taharat of the body, the taharat of the clothing, from all kinds of najasat, from all types of impurities. Number two is to purify the limbs and to purify the senses. Purifying the limbs and purifying the senses mean purifying it from the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Not to utilize one's limbs in the disobedience of Allah, to utilize it only in the obedience of Allah means purifying the limbs. In other words, that is also a taharat. The senses, the eyes, the gaze, the ears, the speech, and all the other senses, to purify that also and to make sure that each one of our senses are operating according to the commandments of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And again, it is this month of Ramadan that we go through this process of spiritual exercise, and there is no better time to exercise and to make sure that every limb of ours, every sense of ours is also in accordance to the commandments of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Number three is to purify one's self, to purify one's heart from all the evil and debasing qualities that man would normally possess. The qualities, for example, of jealousy, the qualities of hatred, the qualities of arrogance, the qualities of excessive indulgence or excessive love of this material world, one has to purify oneself from that also. And that is also a very, very important aspect insofar as taharat is concerned, insofar as purification is concerned. In other words, to purify ourselves from each and every debasing quality which the Shariat has deemed as debasing. And then number four is to purify oneself from everything else besides Allah. To purify oneself from everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, to purify our iman, to purify our yaqeen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, all power, all might, all energy, all forces, everything belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a matter of fact, when we look at what fasting entails, the ulama have stated, one is the fasting of the ordinary person like us, that we keep away from eating and drinking and from indulging in marital activities, and that is where the fast stops. But when they speak about the second type of fast, and that is the fasting of the salihin, the fasting of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also did this. They also kept away from eating and drinking and fulfilling one's carnal desires, but together with that, they kept away totally from sin. Not only in the month of Ramadan, not only whilst they were fasting, but at all times. And then number three is the fasting of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, that they had done these two things, kept away from eating, drinking, fulfilling carnal desires. Obviously the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam were sinless souls, but together with that, they kept their hearts purified from everything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now to further emphasize this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالرُّجِزَ فَهْجُرُ. Rujiz in Arabic refers to rijz, and that means filth. Filth will refer to idol worship. Filth will refer to worshipping anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Filth will refer to sin. Filth will refer to breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fahjur, refrain from it, keep away from it. Now we know our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the fountainhead of iman and yaqeen, of purification, of cleanliness. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more so for each one of us, that if this is my address to my beloved Muddathir, my beloved Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then each and every one of his ummah should refrain and keep away from this. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka.